Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Legends line.
Oh, he's a legend. Look at you.
Well, sweet. He's a legend to us. By the way, the photo that I'm about to share on social media of him early in his career also would qualify as legendary.
No, nervous.
I'm not sure you're old enough to buy a Yuengling at this point in this photo. Joining us now on the Yuengling Legends line, Yuengling, America's oldest brewery, and now finally in Wisconsin, six generations. Family-owned and operated 197 years. Are you kidding me? DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. It is Jeff Levering on Wildy & Tausch. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining the boys at the stadium, and thanks for joining me here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm curious, what did the first Yuengling taste like, Mr. Wildy? Was it good?
I'd have to ask Homer.
Yeah, I'm just
kidding. Good one. It's a good one.
Thank you very much. I think we'd make a good tandem. If you're available for some cousin sub shifts, let me know.
You got it.
Are you? First of all, thanks for coming. Because we've had a bit of a rough run.
We were 0-2. So now
we're hitting 333.
Is it's fine. Very strong.
It's a great day.
Very strong.
Exactly.
We got another at bat to get to 500. We'll be fine.
You know Pat Murphy very well. Jesse was nervous, and I think he intentionally sabotaged. He was a saboteur of our efforts to try and have him on the show today. Because as you know, a year ago at this time, he was at Pablo Iglesias' birthday questioning whether we needed to have a conversation about the manager's job security. You're around him all the time. Do you think he's the kind that would hold a grudge against Jesse?
No. I think he can put things away, especially now that he's more mature. This is Murph.
You're talking about Jesse, or are you talking about Murph?
Murph.
Talking about Murph.
I think Murph as an Arizona State head coach would have been a grudge holder, like with his players and guys that didn't play the way that he wanted to play. I think that he has grown up a lot since he got into pro ball. I think he's good on Mr. 7-10 split over here. I think he's fine.
Mr. 7-10 split.
Level, what makes him so good at what he does?
Murph?
Yeah. Well, not Jesse.
About me.
No. All right, just for the record, we're not talking about Jesse the rest of the interview. So
okay.
Let's just move it along to Murph.
Murph has this innate ability to relate to his players. And again, this is going back to his Arizona State days where I didn't play for him, but I have plenty of friends that did play for him. Totally different style of managing to where he would almost break you down as a human being and then build you back up to the way that he wanted you to play. I've played for coaches like that. I'm sure you've played for coaches like that in football. It's a tough way to be coached. You have to have a specific way that you go about life to get through that in a positive way. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But I think Murph now, because these guys are pros, he has a way that he can relate to them. He is more mature now. He has this way of allowing his players to police themselves within the clubhouse. He trusts the leadership in the clubhouse. He's got a great relationship with the guys up on the fourth floor here. I just think that he has a great way of getting the best out of people without having to tear them down first and build them up to the way that he wants them to be. He's allowing people to be who they are as human beings and then allowing them to be good baseball players.
Yeah, and how important is it to have that relationship with the fourth floor?
It really is. There are so many organizations that are not aligned. Think of it as like a Jenga tower, where you have the front office, you've got the guys that are on the field as the coaching staff, and then you have the players at the bottom of the Jenga tower that really hold the thing together. But the ones at the top are the ones that are making all the decisions. Those are the tiles that you're picking out, essentially, and putting back on the top. But at the same time, that has to be in alignment. Otherwise, it's going to fall down. It's going to fall apart. There are a lot of organizations that are just scattered all over the place. But this place in Milwaukee, it's up and down. It's aligned. You could have a player ask Matt Arnold a question. You could have a player ask Mark Attanasio a question, and vice versa all throughout the layers of this organization. It doesn't work that way a lot of times.
And you're going to get the same answer.
Most of the time, yeah. You're going to get an authentic answer. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. I think the alignment within this organization is special.
And when you're playing Jenga, can you to feel it out? Or is it once you go, you got to go?
You got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you touch the tile,
it's got to go.
It's the one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
As a purveyor of analogies, Tausch, how would you rate Jeff Levering's Jenga analogy there?
Can you picture it and understand it? The answer mm-hmm. is 100% yes. It's an A+. It's an A.
I figured he'd get a high grade.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how much Pat Murphy has grown. How about the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes announcer? Mm. How much has he grown, and what has it been like for – I always enjoy it when you're with us because you're so generous with your time, even though you're a big deal now.
No,
you act
no.
like you're a small deal like you were back in Rancho Cucamonga. How different are you at your job when you look at Pat Murphy and compare him to you?
I am way different now than in my first year in Rancho Cucamonga, which was 20 seasons ago. Hard to believe. That was my first full season in 2007 with the Rancho
Cucamonga.
Dude,
you were 22
Quakes.
Years old?
I was 24 when I started.
Did you love
23?
23?
No, I
do love saying
you
Rancho.
Don't like it?
I hated it.
It's so fun. It rolls off the tongue.
Do it 140 times, a million times.
I'd probably acronym it.
Acronym. What's up, RC?
Yeah. We're here in the RC. Big deal.
We're gonna Vinny Rotino just initial this thing.
Yeah.
It's just a VR and JM and JL and RC. No, the worst part, I mean, and I hated it, and I came up with it too, was every time I signed off the broadcast, I would say, and don't forget, everybody, shake, rattle, and roll. Oh, my God. It was awful. That's how I signed off
it's
every
NASCAR-ish.
Broadcast.
It's very NASCAR.
It was so stupid.
Because they were the Quakes? Is that
we were the Quakes. Because we were the Quakes.
Hey, yes. So I don't even have to ask you your favorite weather deal, because I have just been enamored with this weather. You know, they're blowing stuff up. Is that the
is
earthquake?
An earthquake
is that
weather?
Deal?
No, I hate earthquakes.
That's part of weather.
But the thing,
yeah.
they're called the Quakes because the ballpark is on a fault line.
Sure.
And the ballpark was named the epicenter.
Ooh,
so we could almost feel an earthquake every day. Some sort of shaking was happening in that ballpark.
And then you rattled and rolled.
And then we rattled and rolled. And then we went on to another day.
Okay.
But
to answer your question, I feel like I've grown up a lot. I was doing so many different things and trying to find what my voice was. Because I got that job having done four baseball games in my entire life. Four. And it was the previous season that I'd filled in on radio. And I feel like I've grown up a lot. You get to know yourself when you are on an all-Spanish radio station all the time until you hit the air. And nobody can hear you unless you are in the parking lot of said radio station in the middle of Loma Linda, California, which is nowhere near Rancho Cucamonga. So I could make as many mistakes as I wanted to. It was pre-Twitter. Nobody was posting stuff out there. So I had 140 dress rehearsals essentially to try and figure out what I was going to be. And then 3 years later I was in AA and the rest is history.
So we were just talking about it's Packers rookies are heading up there. And can you kind of take us through the first time you met Bob Uecker? Because I have to imagine, I know for me when I walked in that locker room and I saw Frankie Winters and Brett Favre, it was deer in the headlights. Oh, my blank. I can't believe I'm here.
Totally.
I'm guessing similar thoughts for you.
Very similar. We were at dinner at Don and Charlie's down in Arizona, which is no longer. They closed shop maybe 5 years ago. But great baseball place in spring training, memorabilia all over the place. You just never know who you're going to run into at that place in terms of baseball royalty. And I showed up at the restaurant. This is my final interview. It was to go have dinner with Uke. It was right before Christmas in 2014.
Wow.
So I'm having dinner with Uke and his wife, Judy. And I walk around the corner, and he's sitting at a table with a $2 bill with his face on it. And he is sitting underneath said dollar bill, which is on the wall. And after I messed my pants and needed some North Shore adult diapers,
look
and
at
then
you drop, look at you.
And then sat
pro.
Down, you know, you sit down and he has this way of disarming you within about 5 seconds. So all the nerves went away. I sweat through my shirt the entire night. I didn't go to the bathroom and needed to go to the bathroom. It was a 3-hour dinner. Within 10 minutes of meeting Uke, Bud Selig walked around the corner and he goes, "Hey, Al, this is Jeff. He's going to work with us next year." I didn't have the job at the time. So again, disarm city. Yeah, it was wild. It was a great night, a night that I'll never forget. And it was a great 10-year relationship that we had that we worked together. It was amazing.
That is an incredible story. With Jeff Levering, our legend, on the Yingling Legends line, except he's in person with Tausch and Jesse at AmFam Field. All right, let's talk a little ball here. Tell us how we should feel right now about this team, having been without Churio, having dealt with these injuries, Yelly going down, mm-hmm. where they're at right now. How should we feel about them? And should we be nervous? Should we be taking a deep breath and saying everything's going to be all right? How do you view the start of the season?
You should feel pretty good about where this team
all
is.
All right.
You know, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't look at the standings until after the trade deadline. I don't. I just don't. If you would have told me what the team's record is today, I have to look at a sheet of paper to tell me what the team's record is. Just because... And I'll say what the record is because I, you know, I do my research and
sure.
I get it. You're game over 500, but with the guys that are out, with the pitching that's coming back, the schedule that you've played early, what's coming in May. I mean, just ride the wave. It is so early. You have so many games left that you have to play. It's still a fun team. It's a fun team to go watch. It's a fun team to go support every day. Don't look at the standings right now because so much is going to change between today and next week and today and August and today and September. I would feel just fine with where this Brewers team is.
Yeah, Jesse. I am fine with where they are. I'm
so
not,
defensive. Not, yeah, get off it, so, dude. Yeah,
hey, chill, B.
Holy cow.
Tausch was on my team, too. We made a mistake a couple of years ago when they got swept by the Athletics.
The A's were so bad.
They were really bad.
They wanted you guys. They were so bad.
So what? So what?
We learned a lesson. You would think we learned a lesson last year. And then I went to the birthday bash in the middle of May last season when after cribbage board night when it was not looking good.
That's a great giveaway.
The best giveaway.
I just played on it and lost to Vinny a couple of minutes ago before I came upstairs.
But it was fourth place. Pitching was bad. Offense was bad. And then I said, should we start having a conversation about Murph? And boom, they switched it. He became manager of the year. They won the most games in franchise history.
Yeah, Jesse.
There you go.
So
he's
I'm
fine.
Not making that mistake this year.
No, don't do that. It's okay. We're all going to be all right. We'll you know, if the bats need to wake up, we'll – put some dry ice in some water bottles and we'll light them on fire.
Right,
and I mean, we'll
yeah,
be
let's
fine.
Let's get some stuff rolling with this.
Totally.
How important is it to get Churio back?
It's critical. I mean, he balances the entire lineup. Even getting Andrew Vaughn back. And then when Yelly comes back in May, at the end of May, having that balance and having guys be where they're supposed to be. I mean, that's what April has taught us, right? There are a lot of great role players on this team, but they're role players, right? They're not supposed to be playing every day, and they're playing every day. It's a great opportunity for them, mm-hmm. but at the same time, they're not expected to do that. They're not. You want Jackson Churio in there 7 days a week, getting his 5 at-bats every single day. You want him hitting at the top of the lineup. That's the guy you want in there. No offense to Brandon Lockridge. He's a great player. I love Brandon Lockridge, but he is a fourth outfielder. He's a guy that you want against left-handers. You don't need him in the lineup every single day, but he's performed at a high level. Would you rather have Jackson Churio in there? Yes. Brandon Lockridge would tell you the same thing. So when you get him back in there, it just balances the rest of the lineup. It's critical to get him back, and it sounds like maybe St. Louis.
Talking with Jeff Levering on the Yuengling Legends line. All right, so what is your pre, other than joining us and chiding Jesse for his overreactions, on a day game like this, I learned that they don't take BP on a day like today.
Uh-huh.
Quick turnaround from last night. What is your quick turnaround like?
My quick turnaround was waking up at O'Dark 30 and getting a run in this morning, which is nice.
What a show off.
Braggart.
Just total show off.
Body is a temple, guys.
Why'd you do your hot yoga?
No, I didn't do that. No. Okay. No. But I do like to get some exercise in on these day games. I took my daughter to school today, knowing that I'm not going to see her and my son for a week. So I took my daughter to school. She has a talent show tonight, so I wanted to make sure to do that. We have a jam session.
What's the talent?
Nice.
She's doing high fives and stuff. She's got secret handshakes with her friends. They're not going to be secret anymore because she's doing a talent show. But she's got that
secret
to music.
Are you going to steal some to do with like Rotino and the rest of your colleagues?
I think I should.
Yeah.
I think I should. I think that'd be really fun. So I took her to school, and then I came down to the ballpark. I grabbed Murph for the pregame interview today.
So Murph was doing interviews before the game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got him about 9:05.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Roundabout.
Okay, great.
Timing check.
What did he have to say? We'd love
it. You want a teaser? You want
give
a
us a little
teaser?
It's going to be on 100. Obviously, 620 WTMJ, but also on 100.5 home in Madison.
First question is about Brian Fitzpatrick, who made his Major League debut yesterday. And then maybe some philosophy questions about
some
mentality.
Type things.
Yeah,
okay.
Some Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates. Good man.
Socrates. So, yeah. And
does he play – has he ever gotten into the cribbage or anything on the road, or is that – he's not a card guy?
Yeah, maybe he is. I just haven't asked. He has way too many things going on a day-to-day basis that I'm not going to –
on our show.
I'm not going to stop him for 15 minutes. And then I play Vinny in cribbage, and now I'll go back downstairs and fill out my lineup card, and we'll get to work.
So if the Brewers had a night game tonight, you would miss the talent show.
Yes, I would.
Boy, that worked out.
Yeah,
that worked out.
Well,
great.
I'm going to miss it anyway because we got to go on the road and go to Washington D.C. after the game. So that's okay.
You can video it.
There will be video available, I'm sure. Video, pictures, something.
One more baseball question for you before we discuss the plans of the two gentlemen you're
got,
sitting
got something
with.
Interesting brewing.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
In the Witch's Brew, what do we got?
It's what they're going to be doing on a broadcast that they're doing coming up. But before that, I did want to ask you. You had a period of time in your career where you were affiliated with the Red Sox, right?
Yes. Yes.
Were you in Pawtucket? I was saying Pawtucket.
Yes. If you were in New England, it would be Pawtucket. There's no paw. It's just Pawtucket because they don't say their R's and don't say just
pack
random letters. Yeah, Pawtucket and have it, yeah. Come on down to McCoy Stadium.
Oh, you're lucky he wasn't in Beaver Dam when you met your wife. It ended well for you. I feel pretty confident.
Jeff doesn't know the context, so that sentence is really weird to him.
Jesse used
the Boston accent at a bar in Beaver Dam to meet his wife.
Wow.
First thing I ever said was, who orders a lemon drop shot at a bar?
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a good
That's pretty good. Nice.
Working on it for decades.
There's some poor gal in New England that has a signed coaster from me because she thought I was Matt Damon in a bar. And I
How about them apples?
I signed it as Matt Damon. How about that?
How do you like them apples?
How do you like them apples? Well, I got a number.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't get a number. I just signed the coaster.
She got a coaster.
She got a fake. She got a fake Matt Damon coaster.
She got a coaster under Yuengling. It's crazy.
I have never been happier to try and weasel in a Kyle Harrison question in an interview than when we get you being mistaken for Matt Damon out of the deal.
Yeah, there you go, buddy.
Let's talk about what I think Kyle has served his purpose for today's conversation. I want you to be able to get back to the booth. So Jesse and Tausch have some major plans for a major high school baseball game that's going to be played. I will let them describe to you their intentions.
Okay, so Jeff, you know there's good rivalries. We have a good rivalry down in the Big Eight, Sun Prairie and Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
And they've teamed up over the last 10 years. It's a strikeout for cancer.
Yeah,
they're raising
Cardinals
money.
Cardinals strikeout cancer. Both teams are named the Cardinals.
So it's a great thing. We've been doing it. And last year I went and did the broadcast. I've never done baseball before with Jesse. Okay. You know, I'm always trying to help Jesse. He wants to get more experience. He wants to take your job at some point.
Totally.
So that's where we're at. We get out to Middleton. It was a storm. They have us up on like a perch, basically in one of those sky elevators. We're about, the video wasn't great. Jesse's thing all blows away, so he's announcing the wrong team.
Ooh.
At the
45-mile-an-hour wind gust. My great broadcast partner, we got a play in the outfield in the first inning. You know, gun him down at home plate. Great play to end the inning. I said, wow, what a throw by the left fielder. Tausch instantly. Yeah, who's that out there in left field?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Tausch, my roster blew away in the top of the
game. But anyway, so Jesse and I are doing the game again because it went so well last year, as you could tell.
Yeah. Clearly.
We're doing it again at Sun Prairie this time.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it from the back of a Zimbrick Chevy flatbread truck.
Love that for you guys.
Have you – what is – you obviously have great booths you've done, but back – has there been anywhere you've done anything in a really unique – setting from a broadcast standpoint?
Yeah, certainly two come to mind immediately. Bakersfield, California, which the ballpark was built in the early 1940s, and it faced west, straight west. So when the sun set, it set right behind the pitcher. So they built a 75-foot wall so that you could actually play through the sunset, but they built the wall in the wintertime when the sun set in a different place.
Oh, that makes it sound.
So the sun, imagine this huge wall. The sun would come right next to this huge wall that they built. So the booth had single-paned windows and no air conditioning. I walked into that booth one day, and it was 139 degrees in the booth.
Get your sauna.
I did. No joke, I lost 10 pounds that four-game series just in water weight and sweat.
Okay.
On that road trip also was Visalia. Visalia only had one booth, and it was a cinder block kind of
like
unit.
Prison-y.
Behind very prison. Very prison, very Shawshank.
Okay.
And the home booth was in there, booth, quote-unquote. The visiting booth was a picnic table outside with a single umbrella that did not move.
So the sun's
beating down on you unless the sun hit that one spot where the umbrella
was.
That
felt good when the sun hit that one spot.
It really did for about 10 minutes.
I miss my friend.
Yeah,
I miss my friend.
So, those are two.
Okay, so here's kind of what happened. So we both live in Sun Prairie. Okay. My son plays on the JV team. So we're really fired up. And I said, we should do this game again because it's been great for the game.
Love it.
So what has happened? An event came up that my wife really wants to get to.
Okay.
So I had committed to doing this game with Jesse.
Okay.
I have to leave early.
Okay.
You sometimes take a break, right? You don't do all nine innings.
We still don't know
what
the event is, by the way.
Just I'm going to get to that.
That's all right. On radio, we do have breaks. Yes, for sure.
So I'm going to do three, maybe four innings. I got a hard out at 6:15.
All right. Game starts at six.
Doesn't start at six. So I'm 5:15. So Dennis Semera, who's a great, he is the Vinny Rattino of ESPN.
Great.
ESPN Madison and ESPN Wisconsin.
Great.
So is there any? So Jesse's giving me a hard time. But I'm going to give 3 to 4 innings, which is kind of where we're at.
Has Lane or Josh or Rock or anybody you've worked with ever just said, hey, I got to go at 7:15, I'm out?
None of those people have, but it's happened before for sure.
Okay.
I used to work with a guy on occasion, and he would have the headset on, but underneath the headset he would have his AirPods in and watching like NFL films on the side.
Ooh.
So I would take my 3 innings or 4 innings of undivided attention as opposed to that. So
okay.
There's that for you.
Stuff like that.
Well,
yeah.
Someday we'll reveal what the event is.
I'll get to that.
I think it might change your opinion.
It's something my wife really wants to go do.
Then that's great.
Her birthday's coming up, so that's what we're doing.
Good for you. You're going to earn points.
Her birthday is
coming. She says, roll up the truck. We're going to do it in the bed of the truck. We're going to pile everybody in.
Caveat, is he going to take the truck when he's done?
That would be something.
That's
next level.
That is a different level of that.
That would not be ideal.
Drive off and Dennis and I are stuck in there. Oh, wait a minute.
Deuces, here's my lawn chair.
Yeah, that could happen.
It could happen. Just don't take the truck.
Yep.
Level.
And that's your Brewer Breakdown.
Don't take the truck.
Kyle Harrison, Boy, is he pitching well.
He's pitching great. He's pitching great. The old De La Salle Spartan.
Indeed.
Love that.
Level, we will let you get to your real job. We always love it when you spend time with us. We always are smarter, and we always have fun. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks a ton.
Appreciate you. Great to see you through the interwebs.
Just the perfect way to see me, I would argue. Tausch, tell us about Annex Wealth Management while Level goes to his real gig.
Level, you know where Neshota is?
Neshota.
You know where Neshota is?
He knows how to say it better
than
you.
Well, he's a pro. Neshota. Well, this one's for you, collectors, sports memorabilia fans, families who want to get their legacy right, Wednesday, May 6th. Unfortunately, I have that thing.
So I'm not really able to You're doubled up that day.
6 to 7:30 p.m. Annex Wealth Management hosting a special evening called Passion Assets and Legacy, preserving the stories behind your treasures at the beautiful Red Circle Inn in
Neshota.
Neshota.
Why do I keep saying Neshota?
You keep saying Neshota, like Wichita.
Neshota.
Neshota.
Neshota. I'm going to probably get it wrong again. We're not talking about IRAs and 401ks. We're talking about the stuff that really matters, your family's legacy. So a seasoned financial planner and a professional estate appraiser going to walk you through all the real-world strategies, being tax smart, and ways to make sure your treasures tell the story that you want. We're also going to have great wine, spirits, hors d'oeuvres, a great dinner so you can enjoy the conversation in a relaxed setting with other collectors and legacy-minded families. It is a free, intimate workshop. Space is limited, so reserve your spot now at events.annexwealth.com to go to the
Neshota.
Neshota.
Just point. I'll take it.
Neshota Passion Assets. Again, don't miss it. May 6th at the Red Circle Inn in
Neshota.
Brought to you by Annex Wealth Management. Again, that's events.annexwealth.com. Neshota.
You're welcome.
Red Circle Inn Neshota.
That's why you're the best.
Shake, rattle, and roll, buddy. We appreciate
Oh,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, you hit you with the shake, rattle,
yes.
Roll.
That's copyrighted.
I'll send you your residuals. Yeah. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Minus 5 cents.